Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're going to complete a little reflection we've been having all week long on this section from the fourth chapter of St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, a chapter that's just packed from beginning to end with a revelation about the glory of Jesus Christ and what we inherit as sons and daughters of God and what we can look forward to, the promise of reward, of absolute fulfillment beyond, as I've said, our wildest imagining. Verse 16 and following, I touched on some, but I'm going to review it right now. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul is talking about first having to pass through many trials and difficulties, temptation to despair and discouragement in life, which I think everybody, all of us can relate to in life. We get focused on the circumstances of life and the difficult experiences we might be passing through, and it can consume our horizon. You know, it just completely engulfs us. And all we can think about is what we're experiencing, and it can lead to despair and discouragement, isolation, confusion, anger, frustration, all kinds of things that can happen to us. And in the midst of that struggle and trial, which is really part and parcel to what it means to live in a fallen world, the devil seeks to use it, whether it's from him directly, or he takes advantage of circumstances that we ourselves have stepped into. It's the devil's strategy ultimately to separate us from the promises of Christ, to separate us from the dignity and the power that we've been given in our baptism in Christ. He wants to lead us to doubt. He wants to lead us to despair. He wants to fill us with lies. He wants us to ultimately give up and to turn away from God, then to slide back into ultimate discouragement, darkness, despair, and eternal death. That's his plan. And he's working 24/7 to make it happen because he hates us. He hates you. He hates me. Why? Because you bear the image of God. You're his enemy because God is his enemy. He's filled with rage and hatred toward God. And the way he wants to get back at God, because he can't really harm God. I mean, the devil and God are not equals. The devil's not even close. The devil's a creature. I mean, he's very powerful from our perspective. But what he wants to do is he wants to destroy God's plan, God's purpose. And that means leading eternal creatures, leading men and women, the image of God, to lead us away from being children of God, leading us to become slaves to him forever. So there's the battle. But Paul says, look, he's gone through tremendous difficulties and crises, but I don't lose heart. He said, even though our outer man is wasting away, and look at how much we struggle as we age even, right? It's such a battle, and it can be such a moment and a time of discouragement when our powers are leaving us, and it's difficult for us to have that natural sort of happiness and confidence in our life and our sense of purpose and identity. Remember what St. Peter said, and all mankind is grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever. And the word of God is Christ. The word of God is not only the whole Bible and what God gives it to us and all the promises that are there, but ultimately it's his person, it's his son, who will never fade, a treasure that belongs to him, he wants to give to us. The genius of the apostles and the saints is they understood it. They got it. They knew where the gold was. That's where they put their treasure. That's where they put their heart, their mind. They didn't worry about this passing age. They weren't fooled by it. It tries to deliver for us what? Fool's gold that's somehow going to make us happy, and we run after it, and we take our eyes off the prize, off the great reward that awaits us. What Paul describes here is, he says, this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all compare. The trials in this life, even the dying of our bodies and the aging, it helps strip away all the illusions and all the ego and the pride and everything that's in the way that distracts us, because the Lord has to detach us from these things. I remember a paragraph from a fantastic essay C.S. Lewis wrote called The Weight of Glory, which I would highly recommend to you. It's not that long. It's incredibly inspiring. He said this in it. He said, indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Think about what's in the news constantly. It's what's been in the news this last year, to just one story after another of cultural icons, whether it's, you know, Bill Cosby or Harvey Weinstein or the Attorney General of the state of New York or whatever. What are they doing? They got suckered into what the devil always serves up time and time again. Nothing new under the sun. Pursue money, sex, power. It's going to make you happy. You see what C.S. Lewis is saying? We're half-hearted creatures. Our desires aren't elevated like the apostles are. They're not trying to draw from this world. They know this world is ultimately empty, what it serves up. It's not enough. It won't satisfy us because we're made for more. They've learned this great wisdom, this great grace, to set your heart on things above. Let's read what Paul says, verse 17. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. But we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. It's just the opposite of how the world works. It's focused on the glitter, on the gold, on the passion, on the experience, on titillating our desires, seeking pleasure, habitual entertainment, constant distraction. That's what the world is serving up. Because the devil doesn't want you to slow down enough to find moments of silence where you take up this word and you take this word into your heart and you chew on it. As Pope Benedict said, you suck the juices out of it and you let it fill your heart. And it's going to start lifting your gaze from what's seen to what is unseen. Literally, this word is meant to help you in the grace of the Spirit in your life to see God and to have that desire in you, that cry that we talked about earlier that you hear in the Gospels. We want to see God. Jesus, show us the Father. And then you begin to experience what the saints experience, the consolations of God. God begins to draw back the veil. He speaks to you. He shows you who he is. And it's overwhelmingly beautiful and powerful and lasting. The saints all have their different story of how they came into that reality through repentance and conversion and the grace of God at work in their life. But it's a treasure they would never give up because it's so far beyond what all the treasure in this world pretends to give us. Again, verse 18, because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Friends, to get here, we have to make some concrete decisions. We've got to turn off the TV on occasion. We've got to unplug from social media on occasion. We have to stop chasing and running after one experience after another, and we've got to find time to be alone with God. He wants to talk to you. He wants to enlighten your heart and mind. He wants to give himself to you. But he's not going to chase after and force his way into you. Don't settle for less. Don't be seduced by the enemies. Remember, all that glitters is not gold. It's so easy to get suckered into it because of our weaknesses. I mean, I know this in my own life. It's a battle. We have to fight for this. We have to develop spiritual habits of prayer, fasting, almsgiving, service, things that will subdue the flesh in us. And as St. Paul says that, and I think it's Romans chapter 8, is it, where he said that if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, we will live. We need to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit in us who's been given to us. And we say yes to that work of the Spirit, and the Spirit forms us, conforms us to Christ. It teaches us to subdue the passions that are trying to rule us and dominate our lives. And they're effective if we're not careful. so effective that it'll lead us to despair, like, oh, we're frustrated because we don't have enough, because I'm not enough, because I don't have all the glitter that everybody else has. And we get filled with envy or jealousy, discontent, regret, resentment. All these things can take over and literally cover our heart. The devil wants to blind us from seeing where the real treasure is. Holiness begins with desire. Desire God. Desire to have your blindness removed. Desire to see God. You know, most men I know, most people I know, you get what you desire. You kind of go after it, right? Desire God and you'll get God. Desire to know God, you'll come to know God. Jesus said, those who seek, those who knock, those who hunger, those who thirst, they're going to get it. They're going to get God, the treasure that is God himself, the only thing that can satisfy the cry of the human heart. So St. Paul says it's the unseen that God wants us to see. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. By the grace and presence and power of the Spirit in your life, you can see beyond the veil. You can see into the eternal. You can see your destiny. Think about the things that are in your future that maybe you hold in your mind, that great resort you're going to go to, or maybe the house you hope to build at some point, or whatever dream you have that you keep bringing back, and it gives you hope. It, you know, puts some life in your step. It gives you a direction. There's nothing wrong with that. It's part of life. But it's not enough. It will not satisfy you. What you need is the eternal destiny, the eternal goal, the reward that God has set before you. So verse 1 of the next chapter, chapter 5, Paul will go on to say, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Here indeed we groan and long to put on our heavenly dwelling, so that by putting it on, we may not be found naked. He's now talking about being clothed and swallowed up by life. He's going to talk about, we're thinking about what we're going to inherit, and that is the resurrected humanity of Jesus and a glory beyond all compare. Later in that chapter as well, verse 10, he says, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body, that is here on earth, and at home with the Lord. We're filled with courage, the willingness to sustain a wound in following Christ and living for him, because he said we walk by faith and not by sight. And he's saying, so be of good courage. Let the eternal perspective fill you. He said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive good or evil according to what has been done in the body. So now don't waste a moment. Participate in God's work in your life. Go after it. Hunger. Make it first. Let Christ be enthroned at the center of your life, and let him produce in you what he wants to produce so he can bring you into the full reward that awaits you and awaits all those who live and die in Christ. Friends, lay hold of it. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.